relax, my friend. You are in the presence of like-minded spirits. But before we go any further, I am afraid we must
check.
Check.
Yeah.
Ooh, for comic books.
With Eclipse Bilky.
Now breathe in
slowly.
And breathe out. Oh, yes, that is very good.
Relax, my friend.
You are in the presence of like-minded spirits.
But before we go any further,
I am afraid we must.
Oh, yeah. That's very relaxing. And it's very important to relax. Everybody nice and relaxed. Man, I hope so. Around here, it's been vacation time. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to introduce myself. My name is Eclipse Pilkey. And welcome to Check Your Head, episode 10.
Hey, what?
Wait a minute.
Yeah. That's right.
Episode 10.
That's not right.
What happened to episode 9, you may say? Fuck if I know. See, what happened is a couple weeks ago. Give me one moment here. Yep, a couple weeks ago, I booted up my computer and got to work, and something funny started happening. I had a little glitch here, a little flicker there, a little spark there. Shit didn't come up. Disk drives weren't working. I was freaking out. Come to find, had me a nasty little virus lodged into my hard drive. It worked its way into my Windows system and everything, and even though my firewalls, multiple, mind you got to in these days, my multiple firewalls and my antivirus and everything else had slipped under it, and even though it had managed to, you know, communicate with the outside source of its artificial intelligence,
here,
it managed to create some havoc here in my home system.
Translation?
It fucked everything
up.
Yeah,
it totally wiped out an entire drive I had, my F drive, Edsel, which for some reason I stored all my stuff on, my recordings, these episodes right here, plus my music and other things. Not music I download or anything like that, because to tell you the truth, I haven't really been into downloading music for a couple of years, especially the illegal shit. And I had a fun little run about 8 or 9 years ago when Napster hit the scene, and I was enjoying hearing a whole bunch of music that I would have otherwise wasted money on. But downloaded for free before I decided it sucked. And you know what's funny? As a result of that, I ended up buying a whole bunch of new music at that time. I found bands that I would have never heard before, and it reinforced my love of music. And I spent a few $100 in a couple of years buying new CDs. And you know what? Every single one I bought was beautiful, because I got to hear some of the tracks beforehand instead of just seeing, you know, some douchebag. Man, I'm already getting off, aren't I? Welcome back. What are we talking about? The holidays? Yeah, Thanksgiving was a blast. After I got over my decimation of all my music I recorded in the past couple of years, except for what little I'd managed to back up or what have you. Okay, Thanksgiving was depressing. Not the day. The day Thanksgiving was wonderful, man. I totally fucked up this turkey. It was a 25-pound turkey. That may not seem big to you, but man, that motherfucker was huge to me. The big old pot that we had to cook it in, the lid didn't close all the way. But you know what? We slow cooked that son of a bitch over about 5 or 6 hours, and I basted the crap out of it. Injected it with everything I could find and covered it in big old pats of butter and brown sugar. And after a couple hours, the legs just fell off that son of a bitch, and the breast just tore away from the rib cage. By the time I came around to eating that thing, there wasn't any meat stuck to any bone. It was all just floating around in this delicious... Well, you weren't there, so I can't describe it. You missed out. I'm getting to love the holidays. I used to hate them. After I was about 12 or 13 or something like that.
Oh, don't you think you're a little big to be sitting on
the holidays? Drives me crazy mostly about the holidays is just the way people act. All the fucking insane shopping sprees and... It's been a little quiet in the past few years. People don't get quite as murderous as they did back when I was a teenager, I guess. Remember that whole Cabbage Patch thing? I don't know if you're around for that shit. There were these soccer moms in there beating the living crap out of each other in the store just to get a hold of these little fluffy beanbags, you know, with their own fucking names. And each one had their own personality and... Oh, God. Kids...
Hey, Mommy, I gotta have one or I'm gonna poop my pants till I'm 22.
I don't know what kind of things these kids came up to threaten these parents with, but these people got bloodthirsty and saw red and tore each other's hair out. God, I wish we had some video of that shit. Wouldn't it be funny seeing old soccer moms and shit tearing... Well, they weren't soccer moms back then. I don't think they played soccer too much. They were just crazy-ass bitches. You're going to get me off on a tangent crapping about... The other day, I saw something hilarious coming home from work. I was behind this SUV, and there's a whole shitload of them. A lot of pickup trucks, too. Well, there was an SUV behind an SUV, a gray one behind a red one, and turning right onto this major road. And I was looking, and this lady had a baby on board sign, and I could see she was juggling her cell phone. I don't know if she was texting, downloading weather information, you know, ordering Infamil or whatever the fuck these bitches do. But in that split second, I saw her lose track of what was going on, and she kept going forward while the car in front of her stopped. And kabamo, kabamo, slammo, stupid bitch rear-ended him. It would have been fine. I'm back there, you know, applauding the bitch, you know, saying, way to go, dumbass. You know what she does?
What?
She stops the car, turns on her hazard lights, and gets out. Let me tell you something, dumbasses. If you fuck up, the next most brilliant, ironically, thing you can do... to top off rear-ending somebody because you were juggling your cell phone, your baby, and your other douchebaggery,
my word,
is to get out of the car and stop traffic for the next 15 minutes while you figure out which one of you is the bigger dumbass.
You
already won. I'd roll down my window and yell out the window, hell, fuck no, bitch, you get the fuck back in that thing and get the fuck out of my way. No joke. She got in a hurry, put that sucker in gear, rolled forward about another 150 feet and pulled out of the way where me and the other 50 people waiting behind her didn't have to suffer because of her stupidity.
Preach on, Brother Moonshit!
I'll get back on this thing, but especially when weather starts getting nasty here around winter, snow, sleet, and all that other shit that goes along with it. If you fuck up, we all feel sorry for you. No, we don't. We don't feel sorry for you because you fucked up. But if you fuck up, get the hell out of the way. And that's not just applying to the road. That's applying to everything in life. If you fuck up, be humble. Accept your mistake. Apologize and get the hell out of everybody else's way if you can. Limp, crawl, claw your way out of the way. But guess what? Because you guys created this world of millions and billions of people climbing over each other, struggling for the next dime or dollar that comes along, you've made it. You swim in it. Get the fuck out of the way. How long have I been bitching here now?
Almost
to January, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, January's going to be awesome. You see, I don't buy shit during the holidays.
Except a new microphone.
Most of my friends fucked up years ago, and I don't get into that whole, you know, $20 buy your office mate something, because they usually give you a gift certificate to some stupid place you never go and eat anywhere else that bays everything in canola oil, and I don't want no cancer.
Woo! $15
off the pie! So I fuck off during the holidays and hide and come out during January and pick up the couple of things that I've been drooling over the past year.
Like a new microphone!
What am I going to buy this year?
A microphone!
Paint? To paint over the graffiti signs that my low-class neighbors decided to display on my house. probably a new set of brakes for my car so that I can go 50 miles a day back and forth to work. What else can I afford to buy this year? Oh, two other things. There's Jack. I can afford to buy Jack and also shit. So Jack and shit are the two things I plan on buying in the next coming year, because guess what? We're fucked, y'all. Nobody's got any money. Unemployment is soaring up close to 10%. Gas is at an all-time low, but you just hang around till next summer. So I ain't buying shit. What am I reading? Believe it or not, I've been digging into my collection back into the 70s, but not for the stuff that I usually talk about here. I've been pulling out old Conan the Barbarian stuff from the early 70s, the Barry Smith stuff, Roy Thomas.
Is he talking about comic books now?
And that's been leading up to reading a whole bunch of old Cerebus, which was an underground somewhat, one of the original what you'd call independence back there. Back in the late 70s, there weren't much for independence besides the undergrounds, and there were two majors that came up and got into the, I guess you'd call, media spotlight. They got a little attention. One was ElfQuest and the other one was Cerebus, and that was about it. Everything else was the big two and the stragglers that kept, you know, dying alongside. So I've been reading a bunch of old Marvel Conans, Barry Windsor Smith stuff, comparing his stuff to the Bushima things and the Savage Sword of Conans, which were along in the 80s too, early 70s, late 70s. And then versus the Kerry Nord stuff and the new Dark Horse, which was beautiful. The process they went through going straight from pencils to colors that brought out a whole new dimension to comic books everyone's been ignoring heretofore. I don't know why. Maybe it has to do with the reproduction process and how that the pencils are very hard to pick up or reproduce. I'm completely ignorant of it. Somebody drop me a line at eclipsebilkey@hotmail.com and let me know. Hopefully you'll get there before I get the antsy and start digging up online and see what I can find. I like the Howard stuff. I like it when there's a real translation of the Howard stories of Conan. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you know, Robert E. Howard, the creator of Conan. I don't want to get into his story. If you know anything about Conan or know anything about Robert Howard, I don't want to waste any breath. Go online and look him up. Tragic tale, and the classic definition is when good is opposed by good. That's a tragedy. And that's what happened with Mr. Howard. He was a big burly man with deep sensitivity, and he just wasn't understood in his age, and he had very few people to latch on to. And he had an unhealthy attachment to his mom, and when she passed away, he didn't feel like living on, so he killed himself. But his creations live on. One of them, only one of them, mind you. There are a few. King Cole, Solomon Kane, look them up. But Conan the Barbarian, you've got to know who Conan is. I'm looking right now at I just pulled this out because I was reading it on the potty. This is issue 16 of the Marvel Comics Conan the Barbarian. My copy is in real good condition. There's a couple little stress points on one of my corners here. There's a little bit of yellowing along the spine and the back cover, not too much, but it's flat as hell, no spine rolling, and the pages are very, very white. This is a adaptation of The Frost Giant's Daughter by Roy Thomas and Barry Smith. This ain't the comic book flashback. I'm just sort of babbling on about this because I've been really into Conan lately. You guys got to check this out. The original underground guy, he was writing about sword and sorcery when everybody else was writing about Martians and shit. Nobody understood it. Fucking Martians or Old West crap. That's all people wanted to hear at the time. And he's writing about barbarians and sorcerers and shit. That's the definition, is when you're going against the grain and telling stories that most people either don't know they want to hear or just plain don't want to hear because they have no frame of reference, and that's underground. And, today I wanted to dump back into a Zap comic.
Nope, that ain't going to happen. Really totally screwed it up. Me
heavily.
Film at 11.
I think I'm going to back off a little bit here. I think I need to press the button. Maybe take a swig of some Guinness. Oh, you didn't think I'd go through a whole episode without drinking a Guinness. Well, I got news for you. This is number 3.
Gurgle, 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 gurgle.
Ooh, man. Thick and rich and foamy. You burp it up and you remember it. And now, I think what I need to do here is find the button so I can press it. Maybe it's behind this. I think I found the button. Hello? Hello, anybody there?
What is the platform?
What?
What is the platform?
What's that noise before you talk?
I don't know. I just want to talk about something that sounds like a CD.
I don't think anybody's going to be able to understand that. What the fuck do you want?
Well, I need the platform to hold it and I'll press the button. Help it on up.
The password is, I'm gonna kick the living fuck out of you if you don't open the door. Man, isn't that worth the worst sound effect for an opening door you've ever heard? I want to walk in here now and... Wow. What the hell am I walking on? One more step. There we go. I'm gonna move the glass cylinder and... Boy, this is the dumbest fucking place to hide a button I've seen so far. You know what? You bastards gotta get this shit together. Here's the goddamn button. That's not a button, you sons of bitches. That's a bottle cap. What the fuck am I supposed to do with this? All right, goddamn it. I want to get my script out and see what the hell is going on here. Walkway. Crappy sound effects. Finds button. Found button. Bottle cap. You know what? Fuck you. I'm going to go... This is my button. I ain't gonna press it. Okay, hold on a second. We gotta prime it. Enter the sequence. Oops. Hold on. There we go. All right.
Oh. Hmm. What happened? Hey, who did that? I can't breathe in here. Let's go. I can't breathe. Oh. I'm gonna press the button.
Boop, boop, jeez. get here.
Awake from a sleep.
Oh, man.
You are getting sleepy.
What the hell is that coming at me?
You're getting sleepy.
Oh, God, it's a buddy book flashback.
You know what time it is, sucker. It's time for the funny book flashback, turkey. You know what time it is, sucker. It's time for the funny book flashback, turkey. You know what time it is, sucker.
I know what time it is.
It's time for the funny book flashback, turkey.
Shut the fuck up.
Oh, man. That fucking felt awesome. Hells yeah. Well, I'd like to introduce you to my new microphone. I may not have it done just perfectly yet, but I think I got it rigged up nice. It's much, much better than my old microphone. It was a Christmas gift. Thank you very much. It's one of those funky, badass microphones that looks like a Remington shaver and sits on a big mass of rubber bands. The kind you see on TV when they show the little twats singing with the microphone held up to one ear and they got that weird contraption in front of them. Yeah, that's what it looks like. It was kind of expensive. It was worth it, I think. I think everything sounds good. I think that if I get close enough, to the microphone, you can hear every little smack, bop, and gristle of my lips, and that may just make you want to hurl. And if you're gonna hurl, make sure you hurl in a direction opposite your butt, dude, because you know what? Like, hurling on your butt really totally sucks. Don't know where that came from. I guess I got wasted the other day and watched Wayne's World again. I like that movie. And if you don't like it, well, you know what? That's your opinion. So I've got a nice full glass of Guinness right here, ripped up to the head, and a big old fucking stack of books that I've read recently. A bunch of old head comics from the 70s. Some of them are from the early 80s. There's a couple in here. But I don't really know which one I'm going to do right now. I'm just going to close my eyes and shuffle them, as it were. Oh, boy, there's some weird... Wait. I got to stop and tell you what's in here before I shuffle them and read them off to you. This may anger you or entice you, because eventually I am going to review all these books. Or at least a couple of them. I may just get a whim up my ass and grab something different of them. What do I got in this stack? R. Crumb's Mr. Natural number 3 is one of my random picks. Kitchen Sink Comics. Oh, here's another Crumb. Self-Loathing Comics. I don't know if it's got a number on it or not. Cherry with two R's. number 13. This is kind of dirty. Death Rattle number 2. I think this is I don't know if this is the original run of Death Rattle or the second run. Kitchen Sink. Death Rattle number 2. Death Rattle number 5 with Jackson and Wolverton.
That's Basil Wolverton.
Death Rattle number
B-A-S-I-L Wolverton. W-O-L-V-E-R-T-O-N.
Death Rattle. I must have just grabbed a handful of them. Here's number 3. Getting old. This one's kind of... This is one of my really harder to get undergrounds, Death Rattle number 3. I know it. I've seen this on sale for like around $20, man. It's got a 50 cent cover price, and mine is pristine. Beautiful. White on white. No mars, no marks, no nothing. Just beautiful. And you cannot have it. I also got Last Gasp Comics and Stories number 3, which is just, oh fuck. I gotta hope I picked that one. Oh, here's a cool one. Rick. Oh. Now, please, I may be from Texas and I know a little bit of Spanish. I know enough to get my ass kicked. Seriously, I'm not joking. I know enough Spanish to get my ass kicked, because all the stuff I learned is from the kitchens and you know, car washes and dealerships that I worked at. Stuff like, tu madre es una puta, su padre es un alcoholico, que chingados quieres, you know, stuff like that. Stuff that if you actually say it to somebody who understands Spanish, good luck. This one is Recuerden el Alamo, which is the true story of Juan en... You heard me right. I said Juan. Have another drink again.
Gurgle, 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 gurgle.
Oh, delicious. Man, it's just... Oh, it's delicious. No, go get your own.
Recuerden el Alamo.
Remember the Alamo in Spanish.
Tu madre es una puta. It's the true story of Juan en Seguin and his fight for Texas independence. $1.50 cover price. Covered by Jackson. But it's not the Funny Book Flashback, so I'm going to set this down. Ooh, Anomaly, number four. This one ought to be fun too. Bizarre Sex, number seven. Now, okay, and oh, this shouldn't be here. Conan the Barbarian, number 16. I'm just going to put this over here because it's not an underground. It was just something I was reading. Terribly sorry about that. Oh, God, beautiful. Barry Smith, Night of the Frost Giants. Oh, don't you wish you had this copy? It's beautiful. Okay, now. You like my new microphone? You hear everything, don't you? You hear me setting my beer down in a glass, not the bottle. I pour it in a glass. Do you hear me with my little button? I know, I think I already pressed the button. I say I think because, you know what, when you do that, it kind of messes up your short-term memory. And I really don't know how long this is running yet. It could be almost 30 minutes. And I could look up and see, but it looks like it's about 28 minutes. So hurry the fuck up. Are you bored yet? I hope so. Well, you think this is fun? You gotta wait till the next episode. It's already half been recorded. This is a level with you right here. Most of this episode was something I recorded a couple of weeks ago, when I first got my computer back up, and I just totally forgot about it. You can tell from listening to it maybe that I was a little bit off the end, a little bit off the edge right there. One took over the line, sweet Jesus. Anyway, that was three sheets to the wind. And I didn't even know I recorded it, so it was kind of fun right before I did this to listen to it again and have a giggle. And Mexico, man. So give me some slack. I'm gonna have to press the button again. And if you don't like it, then maybe you need to press the button. Alright, I got it. I got it under control. Oh, wait, there it is. I may be stupid, but I'm not dumb. Right before I take my random pick of these, I'm going to have to pack this button. Ouch. That's not cool. Now, it's time to hit the button one more time. Ready?
All right. Now I'm going to close my Chinese eyes. And, randomly pick one of these books I'm going to review. Terribly sorry about that. Okay.
My eyes are closed.
Oops, I think I dropped one. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I dropped one. I don't know which one. Okay. Eyes open.
Death Rattle number 18. Oh, good gravy. Kitchen Sink Comics. The cool thing about this one is its cover. And that's almost about it. The cool thing is the cover done by Frank Miller, which has it looks like a meat grinder assembly line. And it's silver reflective. Like if you hold it up to the light, it's metallic. And it's got these old-timey looking grinder machines and cogs and wheels. And there's spots where it's got these red bubbling Frank Miller-esque heads all coming up with their eyes wide open and their mouths open, looking like they're being grind up. Good stuff. It says, special, 44 pages, still only $2. Well, $2.50 for Canadians, you bastards. Pretty good book. I mentioned the Alamo book a little while ago. This one features some more art by the same guy, Jackson. This guy is from Texas. I should know more about him because he's a local boy. And especially because most of the stuff he writes about is Texas folklore, Western stuff. And this was written in 1988. And it looks like his others. I wish I could describe it to you. But he's got that old... what was that book... I don't want to say Classics Illustrated, but Journey. I hate my fucking brain sometimes. There's a book called Journey. It's another underground book, Aardvark Vanderheim, and I'm ashamed to admit that in my current inebriated state, I cannot recall the author's name. I even called him an Arthur when it's author. Well, you know what? You get what you pay for, bitches. And so far, I'm still broke. So anyway, I'm checking this out, and it does. It's all got a Western feel. It's black and white and sketchy. It's multi-textured cross-hatching working, and it's set in the Old West. It's called Bulto the Cow Camp. I wish I could delve more into it. I read it last week when I was sober, which is a bad idea because, as we all know, you can never recall anything you've done sober when you're drunk or vice versa. This is a pretty good book. The second story, a guy I never heard of called Bill Hartwig, but the art style looks familiar. I wish I could recall it. This story is really great because it's called The Old Wisconsin That I Knew. And it shows the scene coming down off a hill and into a snowy background. There's this one little log cabin in the midst of this. And you hear the music in the background and the birds chirping. And it zooms in on the cabin and shows this one guy sitting in his, drinking his whiskey. He's got a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. And he says,
I was a young man then. Early part of the century. This was wild country. The white man was still free.
And it shows some guy walking into a bar and just blasting away with a shotgun, blowing this guy off a bar stool. He turned the page, he says,
the laws were there.
In that frame, it shows some guy peeping around a tree at some poor squaw, taking her robe off to swim in the lake and get clean. And the next frame, it shows him running up and grabbing her and basically just cutting the shit out of her or whatever he's doing nasty with his clothes off. And he says
the laws were there, but they didn't apply.
So you get the feeling this guy's used to his backwoods living. you know, cutting down anything he wants to eat or fuck or whatever, and shows him hunting, trapping. He goes, the sons of bitches can get away with anything now. Spear fishing, gambling, anything. At least I still have my memories. At least I still have my land. It shows over the next page he's cutting down a thing and getting some trap set, but he screws up and steps in his own trap and gets caught up in it. So he thinks, well, what the hell, and starts cutting it with his knife, and it snaps. And when the wire snaps, it was holding his leg down, and he accidentally cuts his wrist. And he goes, well, I'll be damned. And he's sitting there looking at his wrist. He doesn't notice that this crazy raccoon comes up from behind him. He turns around and looks at it. The thing lunges at him. Fully bites him right in the mouth. The last panel on page 15 is this raccoon looking like it's French kissing this dude, and his eyes are as big as fucking golf balls. And he struggles and rolls over and reaches up and grabs his knife, and they're rolling down. This thing's tearing his face off, and he finally, you know, gets his knife ready and starts to cut the thing, and then hits a rock, and the fucking knife goes right in his eye. Oh, shit. So he gets up, and the raccoon, a little fucked up, but wanders away unhurt. And this guy done stabbed his own eye out. So he crawls up and sits on a log and wraps a bandage he ripped off his shirt around his eye. He doesn't notice that a big fucking bear comes up behind him and grabs him and goes... He kind of digs his claws into his stomach and pulls him up. And he's blinded, right? He's got this thing. He's got one eye poking out going, hey! He grabs his knife, luckily. Yanks it up and stabs it into the bear's neck, but the next panel shows that the bear done ripped his guts out. He's holding onto his intestines and trying to stuff them back inside him, and it's going. And then it starts to rain. It starts to rain and shit, and he's just sitting there on his knees, and he dies, and it snows, and shows the maggots and the snakes and the worms crawling inside of him, and shows his eyeballs are already gone, and his skin is starting to decay, and his hair is all falling out, and his mouth is withering away. And the next scene shows a bird flying off of his head, and there's nothing much left of him but the rags of his skin and his clothing and his hair. And the last scene is him still sitting there clutching his stomach, trying to stuff his intestines in. I know it's an allegory for something, but fuck if I can remember what. Ooh, here's a couple of ads on the next page, and one of them is The True Story of a New Dancer, Melody, from Kitchen Sink Press, adults only. The True Story of a New Dancer, awesome. Now, the next ad is Omaha the Cat Dancer. I've got a few of those, I can dust them out. Full color and art, rock and roll, whatever. Oh, this one, that's right, it had they made a record that had 12 songs and written by guys you've never heard of before. Oh, those are the people that wrote the comic. God. Well, maybe they're good musicians as well as they're good artists and writers of anthropomorphic pornography. You know, it's possible. The next story is called Small Acts of Revenge, and this guy, I wish, his art is fantastic. It looks like the guy who did, oh fuck, I'm really screwing myself now. If any of you out there have ever heard of Faust, Tim Vigil, it looks a lot like his art. Beautiful, and Bernie Wrightston is in there too. Oh, definitely Bernie Wrightston. And the guy's reading the Tales from the Crypt. And the whole story, I'll break it down for you. It's some kid who's, you know, he loved comic books as a kid, and everybody, he went to a Catholic school or some shit, and everybody tore up on him. And mommy and daddy didn't like me, and they died. And he's obsessed with revenge. Oh, the art's better than the story. I'm winded now. The last story is really good.
and it's a bunch of kids playing out in their front yard, and they start arguing, and they go, boy, this is all boring and blah blah, and one of them sees a star in the middle of the day and says, hey, look up, man, you can make a wish and blah blah, and then they say, oh, that's stupid. The story's called When I Grow Up. Art by Douglas Potter. I never heard of him either. And they're all kids sitting around. They look kind of adult-like in a weird, twisted way. And you get along the way, you figure out why. One of them makes a wish and looks up and says, starlight, star bright, that old stupid shit. Says, I wish I could know what it's going to be like when I grow up. And then the whole thing next is slowly everybody starts, all these little kids start acting like adults, talking to each other, you know, saying, I think there is something more important than money, like friends and life, and, you know, they all have sex with each other and argue with each other, and one of them gets pregnant. And, oh, gosh. Pretty fucked up. One of them, you know, falls on the ground and just kind of dies like he has cancer or something. But then at the end, even though they all look like they grow up and mold and die and everything, and they come out of a daze and say, what happened? It was like hypnotism or something. And they all blame Melanie, saying it was her fault and her stupid wish. Now, just forget it. Let's race and play Nerf. Don't you wish life was like that? But, you know, when everything is all horrible and despicable and you just can't wait for death to come, but suddenly you just open your eyes and it was all a dream, and all your friends were standing outside saying, hey, come and play. Come and play. But it ain't like that, folks. It'll still be good. Life is good. See you next time.
Yeah.